This is Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thank you for your welcome this morning to us both. And I bring greetings from Glenda, who used to be part of this church, and she wishes to be remembered to you. She plays the piano for us Sunday by Sunday, and she wanted to send her greetings to you. Just a word of prayer before we turn to God's word. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our ears, Lord, we want to hear him. Open our hearts and our wills, Lord, and may they become obedient to you. Take my words and take our thoughts, Lord, and speak and change us, Lord, and mold us into an image more like you, Lord. We are so far to go on that journey, Lord, until we see you face to face. But Lord, we dare ask that you might begin that work this morning in our meeting together. In Jesus' name and for his glory, we pray. Amen. I'd like you, if you want to, open your Bibles. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 3. I don't know if any of you got good memories. You probably have, but last time we were with you, last August, I preached on the church, the letter to the church in Ephesus, the first letter of the seven. And this morning I'd like us to look at the last one, the church in Laodicea. And I think, in my opinion, that John leaves his most critical analysis to the last church. All the other six letters contain some commendation and some correction, but the church in Laodicea seemed to come up the roughest in John's eyes and through Jesus' vision of them. But in all the letters that we looked at, there's always light when Jesus is around. There's always that glimmer of hope where Jesus is in control. And that's the same for the church in Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3. And just to set the scene and a bit of a background information about the church, Laodicea was a banking centre, wealthy, famous for its money trade and also for its wool trade. Textiles were important to the people in Laodicea. It was also famous for the treatment of eye problems. People went there to receive special solution to put on their eyes. And how important sight is, that often we take it for granted. And when you lose that sight, you realise how precious it is. So at first sight, and you excuse the pun, that Laodicea looks like a good place to live. Everything seems to be going well. Everyone wanted to live there because of the money and also because of the fabric trade and because of the eye solution. But there's one big problem that faced the people there. There was no fresh running water. They had to pump the water in from outside, source. And the time it arrived in Laodicea, it was polluted. It contained minerals. And it made it unbearable to drink. That's why I think we have those words in verse 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I think there's no other untastable water where it's lukewarm, where it's full of minerals, that's so horrible to take and to drink. And Jesus has these words in mind, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. We have in verses 15 to 17 the strongest reproof from Jesus to the churches. The church and the people in Laodicea were content, self-sufficient people, reliant upon themselves rather than God. History tells us that they suffered a severe earthquake in AD 60, but they didn't want to accept any offers of help. They felt that they were self-reliant and they had resources to draw upon. So they rebuilt the city, refusing any offers of support. That's a sign of being proud and being arrogant, thinking that they can do it in their own strength. So things that seemed easy for them, they failed to rely upon God. They drifted along. And I wonder, are we as individuals and as a church in the danger of doing the same? We need to see Jesus' reaction to them about spitting them out of his mouth, that they were so repulsive to him, like the local water in Laodicea, which would have made them feel sick. These believers were to Jesus in his view. They were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. And that's one state that Jesus detests. They don't see themselves needing God's help. They were reliant upon themselves. In verse 17 we read these words. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. That's their condition. That was their condition. And I dare say that that can be our condition apart from Jesus. They had begun to love the gifts rather than the giver. They had begun to rely upon material wealth rather than God. And then that's the first sign of danger. There's that hymn that, as that verse, land me safe on Canaan's side. And a Jewish rabbi changed the word and said, land my safe on Canaan's side. He wanted to take his money with him. But when we reach that day, when we're in a coffin, our bank balance stays on earth. We go to dust, ashes to ashes. There's no way we can take our building society or bank account with us. We don't rely upon our wealth. We rely on the grace and mercy of God. And I think it's so sad that some churches, even today, might meet, and they might be more like a social club that meets for coffee. They meet for themselves rather than from the worship of God. The form of godliness may exist, but the power is absent. The building remains, but sadly the glory has passed by. my prayer, and I'm sure your prayer would be that would be never said about this church, that by God's grace and power and mercy, those words will never be said, that it's just a social club that meets on Sunday, but a living body, living Saviour. Every Sunday is a resurrection day for the Christian, not just one Sunday in the year, but every Sunday Jesus has conquered death and rose again, and one day come again. He will come again. But with correction, Jesus gives a solution in verse 18. How are they going to put things right? They are encouraged to come and buy from him gold refined in fire. That gold that won't perish with their lives, but will be gold that's beautifully refined. Each of us is a trophy in God's eyes. Each of us is like the FA Cup that we see so high and lifted up by Manchester City last week. Celtic won the Scottish Cup yesterday. We are a prize trophy made to be a reflection of Jesus. And also he says in that verse 18, talks about wearing white robes, a sign of righteousness of God. None of us can come to God in our own robes. In fact, the Old Testament says that our best righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Nothing that we can do, no matter how much we are a good neighbour, no matter how much we give to charity or to the church, our righteousness is like filthy rags outside of Jesus Christ. In him we stand this morning, or sit, not in our own calling, not in our own name, not in the church's name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our only righteousness. He's our beauty and dress. And then it talks about offering salve to correct their faulty eye vision and put it back onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't we as people, don't we as individuals, don't we as a church, don't we as a nation need to put our focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ? How we need to follow this advice. The solution to our problems is to recognise our nakedness and ask God to clothe us. It comes down to us to seek realignment of our priorities and commitment to him, and to follow with our heart's obedience. Whenever in the past this nation faced a crisis, before I was born, but someone will correct me afterward, but one of the kings called for a day of prayer. I don't see that happening in our society today. No one's called a day of prayer. I know there is this prayer from Ascension Day to Pentecost. But where is our nation? Where is prayer in the priority of our nation? Very low down the pecking order, isn't it? I think. Where is prayer in the church? How seriously do we take prayer? I don't know if it's true about you, but the prayer meeting could be the least attended meeting in any church. But it should be the powerhouse. Richard Buse, who I served with at All Souls, went to be with the Lord a few days ago. And he said that prayer is not the work. Prayer is the work. We think we're calling on God, but God knows our condition. God knows the state of our world. Prayer is the work. It's hard work. That's probably why we don't see so many people come to the prayer meeting. May we be people of prayer, praying for our nation, praying for our church, praying for the non-Christian. Do we realise that the best things in life come from the Lord? They don't come from the latest gadget on the internet. They don't come from the supermarket. They come from the Lord. And that's why we got that wonderful invitation in verse 20, to open the doors of our lives and churches to him. I don't know about you, but often I thought and I heard preachers preach that evangelistically. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in. But the verse is addressed to the church, addressed to believers already who have opened the door of their lives to the Lord Jesus. The Lord is knocking on the door of the church. Have we opened the doors of our lives to Him? The words of Jesus says, whosoever may come, no one is excluded. No one is exempt. That includes you and I. That includes the little cat on the steps of number 10 who gets in the door when the policeman opens the door. Whoever opens that door, the Lord loves and longs to sit down and have fellowship with them. Hospitality was a great thing in those days, and often they spent time around the Lord's table. Also, they spent time in people's homes, and they broke bread like we are later on in this service. They shared meals together. We need to realize how wonderful the gift of hospitality is, and to share our lives like Acts chapter 2 talks about following Pentecost. They weren't just content to meet on a Sunday morning. They shared their very being, their very lives with the people. Does God take pleasure in rebuking people? You ask any parent, often when they discipline children, it hurts them more than it hurts a child, the grandchild. You don't like to tell those you love off. You don't like to tell them where to get correction. And the same with the Lord. The Lord doesn't take pleasure in rebuke. He finds it painful. Verse 19 makes that clear. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with them. So the promise that's awaiting us is that we might open the door of our lives. And what is the outcome? A wonderful outcome. In verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you know why Jesus sat down when he went back to the Father that we remember on Thursday, one of the most neglected days in the Christian calendar, because it doesn't fall on a Sunday, Ascension Day? If Jesus has not gone back to the Father, we would have no intercession this morning, no one to intercede for us. But Jesus sat down on the Father's right hand side because his work on the cross was completed once and for all. There's nothing more to be added to that. Jesus died for you and I. Jesus was buried for you and I. Jesus was raised from the dead for you and I. Jesus will come back for you and I one day. Are we ready? Have we opened that door of our lives to him? Jesus sat down. And that's a privilege that is granted to you and I, that one day we will sit around that throne of God. And there won't be any time limit. There won't be any coffee and biscuit to look forward to. No one will be checking the time. We will be lost in wonder, love and praise. We began by looking at the church in Laodicea, who were self-sufficient, confident in their own riches, material riches. And now we find them sharing around the table of the King of Kings. What a transformation. And that's a truth for every person who comes to know the Lord. Their lives are totally different. We can rejoice that know that Jesus is a victor over all time. That's one foundational point that reads right through the book of Revelation. And it also talks about at the end we will share with the Lord around the throne of God. That gives us confidence and courage to live our lives, as I was saying earlier, for the Lord. Someone has said that we're called to live our lives for the audience of one. The one is the Lord. Not for your wife or husband, not for your family, not for the church, but for the Lord. All of the seven letters have great things to teach us, and I encourage you to go away and read them in your own time. They brought the church to confront things like loveless devotion that we looked at last time, where Jesus challenged the church in Ephesus. You lost your first love. Where is our love this morning? Another church was a fear of suffering, of compromise, of not upsetting people. And don't we live in a day where you tread on eggshells, don't you, to upset anyone? Tolerance. We live in a generation that we're called to be tolerant of others. But you tell that to the most persecuted people in the world today are Christians. All over the world, people are persecuted. If you get some Muslims getting persecuted, you soon hear about it on the BBC. But you don't hear so much about all the other Christians who are persecuted because they love the Lord Jesus. That shows how biased sometimes our media can be. They only like us to hear half the story. Seeking a good reputation. And how we don't like to go out. No sensible man or woman would want to go out and upset their neighbour just for the sake of it. They've got a screw loose if they do. But we all seek to have a good reputation. Self-doubt and self-sufficiency that face the church at Laodicea. We need to heed the advice that ends each of these seven letters. What do they say? What does John say as he ends each of the letters? He who has a hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has a hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I don't think it's by mistake that God gave us two of these and one of these. How often we open this before we hear these. How often it's important that we hear before we speak. Gareth mentioned that about over 1,000 tongues to sing. One tongue is enough to control. James says it's like a fire out of control. But let's listen. Am I, are you listening to the Spirit's voice this morning in your walk with the Lord? Are you and I as a church family seeking to walk in the Lord's pathway for us and for Bryn Baptist Church? I'm sure that if we are seeking the Lord's way, then we will know the Lord's blessing in the days to come. I'm sure most of you have seen this picture by William Holman Hunt. I am the door. Jesus standing with a lantern, knocking on the door. And if you look closely at the original painting, there's no door handle on the outside. And John wants to say in verse 20, here I stand. I'm knocking on the door of your life. Have you opened it to me? The door handle is on the inside. Only you can do that. Only I can do that. If the Lord is knocking on your door this morning, don't make an excuse like when Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your doors. You might run and try and hide. You might be brave and confront them with the truth of the gospel. But Jesus is a persistent knocker. He goes knocking on the door right until the end of our lives. I came across this lovely sentence that spoke powerfully to me, and I wonder if they would speak powerfully to you. Leave the door of your heart constantly open to God, and you won't need to worry about hearing his knock. Letting him in into your life is the only hope for lasting fulfillment. I repeat that because it's well worth hearing for the second time. Leave the door of your heart constantly open to God, and you won't need to worry about hearing his knock. Letting him into your life guarantees the only hope for lasting fulfillment. Have you opened your heart completely to the Lord? Are you and I hot or cold? Don't be lukewarm, because God promises to spit you out of his mouth. Better to be hot or cold than lukewarm, according to Revelation 3. Better to be hot and passionate in all this day when football crowds celebrate their team, politicians look for your vote. There's a greater source. The Lord is the light of the world, knocking on your door and my door. Don't let him keep on knocking without replying. It could be the greatest discovery for each of us to make when we open that door and say, "Come in, Lord." It's like when we, maybe in one way, when we pass the driving test. Whenever we're learning to drive, we always got the comfort of someone sitting by us. But then we find ourselves out on the road on ourselves, and that's when driving really begins, when we're left to our own devices. Life is like that. Ask the Lord to be your co-pilot. Help us just come now to a moment of quietness as you answer that question. Only you can do that, not me. I can only answer for myself. You answer that in your own heart to God. Give us, Father, open hearts. Give us open minds. Open wills to you, Lord. Amen.